Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 153 of CJ Evolution. That's 153 episodes made possible by you, the listener. Pat Fitzgibbons here, host and creator. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for tuning in to the show. I would not be here if it wasn't for your support, so thank you so much. Special thanks to all the veterans out there. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you, brave men and women who serve our armed forces, and all the other brave men and women who serve in the criminal justice field. Thank you all for the brave job you do every single day. Got John McGrail on the show, a very, very great man, spreading and doing great work in the field of self-help and coaching and mentoring. Just a wonderful guy. Glad he's back on the show. You'll hear me welcome him back on the show. That's because the first time he came on, we had some technical issues, but he agreed to come back, and I am so glad he came on the show. You're going to love his message. You're going to love what he's doing out there. So without further ado, I give you the one, the only, Dr. John McGrail. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very happy to have Dr. John McGrail on the show. He's more than a clinical hypnotherapist. He's also an established self-improvement expert, and I'm glad he's on the show today. Welcome, Dr.
Thank
McGrail.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really delighted to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you came back. Can you tell the audience a little bit about you, sir?
Sure. I don't know where to start. As you mentioned, my title is a hypnotherapist, but I've been helping people create change and growth in their lives for going on 16 years full time. Mm-hmm. And through all my careers, military and commercial aviation and film and television, I've always had a sort of a natural inclination to end up as an instructor or a coach or a mentor, which is kind of what led me to this work. It's not obviously my first career, but I've developed a process that I call synthesis, which is about creating something that helps people create these changes in their lives quickly and profoundly. And it's really hard for a lot of people to do that because we have a natural resistance to making changes, even when we want them and we know we'd be good for them. And this process allows us to get through our inborn, if you will, our innate resistance to those changes so that we can live the life the way we want to rather than the way we think we're stuck with. And that's essentially what I do.
Nice. And really quick, thank you for your service. I knew you were a commissioned officer and aviator on the United States Coast Guard. So happy Veterans Day, sir. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much for remembering. I appreciate that. And I don't know if you served or not. I don't remember if we discussed that.
I did. I served in the Army. I was jumping out of planes down at Fort Bragg, so a long time.
Well, then thank you for your service as well, sir.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'm so glad you're on the show today, John. And you talked a little bit about, you know, hypnosis. Why do people get into a state where they're just kind of just stuck? I mean, why can't we just kind of, you know, okay, we can get, you know, go through that problem, or we can address that problem and move on. So many people out there, and you see it all the time, I imagine, are just stuck in their life.
Well, you know, again, it's as old as humanity. Our ancestors, when they found a comfortable place to live, let's just say, if we could just imagine, there's this really nice cave and it's in a green valley and there's plenty of food and water, and they get very comfortable and they get very, you know, sort of set in this place. And then another tribe comes in and says, nope, you got to leave. We're taking over. And they don't want to do that because now they've got to go out into the cold and it's fearful and they don't know what they're going to run into. And so over the millennia, really, as we evolved as a species, we have developed this innate, inborn tendency to cling to what is familiar. And it's a state called homeostasis. That's the official term for it. But the mind will stick to what it knows, even when what it knows is painful, with tenacity, because what it knows is familiar and the unknown equates to fear. And that's why people get stuck. It's as simple as that. It's not because there's, and this is important, I'm glad you brought this up, because so many people think there's something wrong with them, that they're less than, you know, I should be able to solve this. And nothing could be further from the truth. You know, when we have a toothache, we go to the dentist. If we bang up our car, we take it to a mechanic. Most of us don't fix our own cars. Most of us don't pull our own teeth. Most of us don't grow our own food. But if we have an issue that we're having problems with, just to use that word, we're stuck in life some way. We have a limiting belief. We don't think we're worthy, or we're not this enough or that enough. First of all, we think there's something wrong with us, mm-hmm. as a rule. Then we think we're the only ones that have the problem. That's so common. Oh, it's me. It's not the rest of the... And then we have this stigma in our society about getting help for these kinds of things.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm supposed to be able to suck it up and get through it. And nothing could be further from the truth, because for most people, it's virtually impossible to make these kinds of changes, to get over them on their own. And that's why people like me exist. Mm-hmm. When you get the help of a qualified professional and you do it the right way, you'd be amazed at how quickly what seems to be impossible becomes not only possible, but it almost seems magical. Mm-hmm. But there is this, there's this inborn resistance to change, homeostasis, that we all have at some level or another. Some people more, and a very, very few people have the ability to, you know, just kind of glide through life, but not very many.
And I imagine you see more men coming to you. Not that women don't have problems, but I think it's just ingrained in men, like you said, you know, just suck it up, and, you know, we're not going to ask for help unless... Unless I'm wrong. I mean, I would assume.
Well, yeah, that you actually, see more men. Actually, I see more women, because they mm-hmm. tend to be more open to seeking the assistance that they need.
Interesting. Yeah.
As you just mentioned, guys are, you know, guys
have
this
sense.
Thing, you know.
Yeah,
I got to be tough. I got to get through it. You know,
sure.
I can't cry. I can't show emotion. I can't show fear. I do. I mean, and it's almost a 50-50 spread, but I would say I probably see maybe 60-65%. Females and 40-45% men.
Do you think it's changing, John? I mean, since you've been in this profession a long time, coaching and teaching, I mean, do you think men are starting to come around? I grabbed this new book by Lewis House. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's called The Mask of Masculinity, and I'm reading it now. It's an amazing book. I encourage everybody to read it. Mm-hmm. But it talks about the different masks we wear as males. And
yes.
How we need to take off those masks to really progress forward. And I mean, you know, do you think, you know, we're seeing more men kind of let down their guard and you know, be more not afraid
yes.
of releasing their emotions?
Yeah. While it's still, I would say that it's still in general in the population at large, it's still a problem. I do mm-hmm. see more men now realizing that, hey, you know what, this is not the way it's supposed to work, and I'm not getting through this. And, you know, rather than just go down this rabbit hole and get worse and worse and worse, and sometimes it can lead to, you know, a real mess, let me just reach out and see and get some more help. So, yeah, I do think it's changing. I think that we need to give it a lot more attention as a society. You know, this dates back to the Puritan ethic. You know, you just – I grew up on the East Coast of New England, you know, which is much more provincial than many parts of the country. And I see more resistance there than I do here in California. People are a little bit more open in California, maybe because they were pioneering the people that settled the state. I don't know what it is, but yeah. So to answer your question more simply, Patrick, yes, it is changing. I think it needs to change a lot more quickly because, you know, I have, as you know, rule number one in my methodology is very simple. Life is supposed to be fun.
Exactly.
You're supposed to be, you know, we only have 80 or 90 years on the planet. Maybe, and the lifespan is going up. Let those be as pleasant as possible. And with a little practice, it's amazing how well you can learn to live your life virtually, not completely, but virtually free of suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's very fun indeed.
Because a lot of people know how to do this, John. I mean, you see, and I see successful people, and everybody has issues and problems, and I know that. But it seems like some people can do it better than others. And it's almost like, okay, what are those successful people? And I imagine they're doing a lot of what you're saying. How are they, you know, they seem to have it all, and they seem to be going through life, and they, you know, they're doing great. And again, I know people have their issues, but it seems like some people, you know, can get on and move past these, and while the majority of people are just stuck, like we've been talking about.
Well, you know, there's two things going on there. One, there is a very small percentage of the population at large that has a much more flexible mind than the rest of us. And when I do lectures and workshops on this, I always use that my favorite cartoon characters, the Roadrunner and the Coyote. because they're a perfect metaphor for it. About 2% of the population are what we would call roadrunners. They have a natural flexibility. They are just much more easily adaptable to changing considerations. Wile E. Coyote's, on the other hand, not too many people are as bad as he is, because, I mean, he's a mess. He can't get anything right. But if you think about him, he knows what he wants. He's willing to work hard. He's got a lot of willpower. And he works and works and works and works and works. But no matter what he tries, he always falls short. I mean, that's the other extreme. Most of us are somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. but there are so few natural roadrunners, and some of those naturally lucky, successful people are in that part of the population. Mm-hmm. And there are millions and millions and thousands of people who learn not to be pure roadrunners, but learn how to get through this because they were smart enough to get the assistance they needed. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to a lot of incredibly successful, well-adjusted, happy people, and they will tell you, you know what, I was in a place, I was sideways, I got the help I needed, and that got me on my way. And once you learn how to do it, it's pretty self-sustaining. It doesn't mean you're never going to need a tune-up once in a while, but once you learn how to do this, and it is a learning process, that's what I do. I'm a teacher more than anything. Once I teach my clients how to do this, then it's amazing how self-sustaining it can be. Mm-hmm. And they're off to the races.
And I imagine, too, like I always like to talk about, I mean, a lot of it is your support network and the people you have around you, because you can't do it alone. I mean, some people think they can, and you have to have those people in your life. You have to have good relationships, healthy relationships in your life to sustain that, right?
Absolutely. You know, we are, whether we like it or not, we are a social animal, and it is the people around us that we surround ourselves with. And again, it's just like, you know, the people that you surround yourself with are the result of a choice. And what one of the things I teach all the people I work with is that everything we think, do, say, and feel is the result of a choice. You know, we feel like life is happening to us, but in fact, it's not. Most of our choices are subconsciously made, which means we're making them without being aware of it. But the people we choose to surround ourselves with are going to have a huge impact on how our lives work. So yeah, it's important to choose wisely in that regard, because you know your team or your tribe can make you or break you.
Now, is hypnotherapy, doctor, when you're going through a patient, you're talking to people, I mean, is it like we see, you know, the classic, okay, they're on the couch, you know, and they're I mean, how does it work actually? I asked you this earlier.
Well, hypnosis in and of itself is a natural state of consciousness. And believe it or not, everybody with a normal brain that isn't organically or physically damaged experiences several moments of what we call natural hypnosis every single day. Hmm. Anytime you watch a good movie or a TV show and you're sucked into it and you're having an experience, you're feeling feelings, you're actually in a state of hypnosis. When you daydream, that is a form of hypnosis. And, you know, I'm infamous for getting on the freeway and getting lost in my thoughts. And then completely,
I think we all do that.
Yeah. Well, that's a state of hypnosis. You're awake, you're aware, but your subconscious mind sort of takes over.
Yeah.
You're in what we call a trance, and you sort of lose track of things until your conscious mind comes back and, where am I? Where's my exit? So hypnosis in and of itself is a natural state of consciousness. Now, how it's applied can be any way you want to apply it. You can use hypnosis in an entertainment venue, like a stage show, and most people see that. They think the people up on stage that are doing crazy things have been taken over. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. They're on stage because they want to be, number one. The first thing a hypnotist says is, who wants to come up and have some fun? And the hands that go up in the room are the ones that get invited up. There's a little testing done. And the hypnotist can find those few people who have the ability of going into that state of consciousness very quickly and very profoundly, which makes for a great show. But they're up there because they want to be there. If a person doesn't raise their hand and they force them on stage, nothing would happen. So it wouldn't be much of a show. In hypnotherapy, in a clinical setting, we create that state of consciousness. It's voluntarily done. My job is to guide the client into that state of consciousness. Their job is very simple. Let it happen, because their mind already does it every day. We bring it to a very profound level of relaxation and focus. That's really what it does. And it allows us, I use a recliner. I don't use a couch. But the person just leans back and they can just kind of forget their body for a while. And it really creates a hyper-focused state of mind. And it allows us to communicate with the subconscious part of the mind, which is where almost all of our habits, our patterns, our emotional patterns, our behaviors, good and bad, positive and negative, come from. Mm-hmm. And so if we have a pattern or a habit or a mental program, as I call them, that's not working, we sort of unprogram that from the subconscious computer and reprogram that subconscious computer, because it does work, it seems to work like a computer, with the new patterns, the new habits, the new feelings. And with reinforcement, the mind will take that on as essentially a new program. And that's essentially what hypnosis is. It's a tool, a state of consciousness that allows us to reprogram our subconscious mind.
Hmm. That's amazing. I mean, it's kind of like, and so you can use this for somebody, doctor, who wants to quit smoking, right? Or
sure.
lose weight. I know you have some products out there I want you to talk about at the end that can help people, you know, with losing
yes.
weight and stop smoking or any addiction, right?
No, any addiction, although mind-altering drugs is a little bit more challenging.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But any behavior from building self-confidence to getting over a fear or a phobia or doing better, just performing better at mm-hmm. work or at school or play. I work with a lot of athletes at all levels, from top pros down to amateurs that just want to be better. But yeah, getting over habits like smoking. In fact, just before we went on the air today, I worked with a smoker. And he will never smoke again, I'm pretty sure. He did really well.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so but the smoking habit, it gets ingrained into our subconscious. It becomes an automatic behavior. And what we do is we unplug it and we reteach the subconscious the new behavior, which is not to want to smoke. I was a smoker, and 19 years ago, I went through hypnotherapy and I've never touched a cigarette since. That's powerful the mind can be. But it's nothing really mysterious. It's just helping our mind get out of its own way, helping our mind get through that natural resistance that we talked about earlier mm-hmm. and create the changes that we want. I can't make anybody do anything or say anything or think anything that they don't want to. I wish I could. If I could make people do what I wanted to do, I'd fix the world. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and so the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is spirituality, doctor. I mean,
yes.
What does it do for the individual?
Well, you know, spirituality is another one of those terms or concepts that a lot of people are afraid of in modern Western culture, because we have become so focused on what the Native Americans would call the world of the flesh, the material world, you mm-hmm. know, things. And it's all, you know, we are so imbalanced. But what people don't realize in modern Western culture, whether we like it or not, and this has been scientifically proven, is that this energy called spirit, which is our essence, exists. There's no woo-woo about it. We are spiritual beings in a physical body. And whether we like it or not, that's the way it is. And so when you get, if you think of yourself as an energy machine, which is really what we are, you have the energy of spirit, you have the energy of your physical body, you have the energy of your mind, your emotional body, if you will. When those three energy streams are balanced and integrated and working together, you have a healthy, happy, well-adjusted human being. But when it gets unbalanced, if you focus too much on the physical, if you focus too much on the emotional, and you don't pay attention to what your essence is, your spiritual, then you don't feel very good. And that is the state of our society today. That's why everybody is so stressed and anxious and angry yeah. and scared, because we're so out of whack energetically. We have become we just focus on the material world and we've let the spiritual world go, and we're paying dearly for it.
And there's so much noise out there. I mean, you know that. I mean, there's just so much distractions out there, it seems like. And I'm guilty of it sometimes too, where, you know, you just get distracted. And like you said, you kind of focus on stuff that is just stuff and it's not important stuff. And we're not focusing on the relationships in our life, which I think are more important than any material stuff. So I think you bring up a good point. I mean, and do you think it's, what do you think the answer is, doctor? I mean, do you think we just need to be more in tune with, you know, ourselves
yeah.
and just kind of do some looking inside instead of outside all the time?
Well, it is pretty simple. And this is another trend that's beginning to occur. We have to get back to our roots. Mm-hmm. And to find our roots, all you have to do is look at the indigenous peoples of the world. Now, I'm not saying that we should give up technology and go live in the woods, although it is a very peaceful existence.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the way they live as a culture, the indigenous tribal peoples of the world from the earliest times till, you know, there aren't too many left, but they live completely differently. Yes, they have to survive. They need food, they need shelter, and they want as much comfort as anybody. But they are all about living in balance with and among one another, more importantly, with the planet, with mm-hmm. the universe, energetic balance in nature. Because mm-hmm. whether we like it or not, we live in artificial buildings now and we drive on artificial roads, but nature is our birthplace. We are part of it. And so when you just simply incorporate that back into your life, and it's not hard to do, it doesn't take a lot of time, but when you do, you reestablish that balance. And as you said, there's a lot of noise out there. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, not only are we hyper-focused on materialism, we are hyper-focused on negativity in our society. All we hear about is the bad stuff that happens. And the indigenous peoples of the world think exactly the opposite. We need to believe in order to see. Show me. Mm-hmm. Show me, or else I'm... And they believe in order to see. So they think completely different. And the amazing, ironic thing is that modern science is proving that the way the native peoples of the world think and manifest is the way the world actually works. Mm-hmm. So we're scientifically proving, using modern science, I'll believe it when I see it, that that's not really the way the world works. It's kind of weird, but it doesn't take a lot to get back into balance, Patrick. It really mm-hmm. doesn't.
Have you seen, I imagine you have, and you know, people who come into you and they want your help and they want your services. I imagine you've seen some transformations of people who just, you know, I'm not spiritual at all, and then bam, something happens, and they dig deep, and then they become a new person, right? You've seen those transformations before.
Oh, hundreds of them. It's kind of why I get up in the morning. Yeah, it's amazing to see it, because once a person acknowledges what they really are and embraces it and then uses the simple tools that are out there to help them get back into balance, you do see a different person. They, you know, suddenly they're not stressed out. They're not suffering from road rage and anger mm-hmm. issues. They've gotten, you know, they're confident in themselves and they're enjoying their life. Life mm-hmm. is supposed to be fun. Rule number one.
Yeah,
hundreds and hundreds of it.
So simple.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's so simple. It's not rocket science, and it's supposed to be fun. But yet, so many of us, and I see it in my profession, are unhappy. Now, granted, we see people at, you know, not at the good points of their life, you know, in law enforcement, but you bring up a good point. It's so simple. I mean, life is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be happy, enjoyable. But, yeah, like you said, there's just a lot of people out there that are suffering, probably needlessly, that they don't need to suffer.
No, they don't need to suffer. And as I said earlier, I'm going to say it again, it's so important. With a little practice and the right help and guidance, anybody can learn to live their life virtually free of suffering, mm-hmm. virtually free of suffering. I mean, there's, you know, it's never going to be perfect, but it's amazing how smoothly life can unfold and how you can learn to manifest what you want rather than, you know, being stuck with where you think you are. I mean, everybody has the ability to do this. Mm-hmm. Every single person on the planet has within them the tools they need. But again, most people, because of the way our society has evolved, is going to need a little assistance to make it happen. Mm-hmm. If you get the help, what is a very simple process, as you said, life is simple. It can also be easy, yeah. or it can be hard. That's a choice.
Well, and you said too, John, at the beginning, life is short, man. We're not here very long. We're not here very long. So why do you want to live in misery and being miserable? It's, you know, and I think, you know, everybody, and I know I do sometimes, you know, you go through a funk, but I don't stay in that funk for very long. But right. yeah, life is short, man. I mean, I just don't know why, you know, some people, and I know relatives like this, they are just constantly, you know, bummed out. You know, they're constantly down. They're toxic, if you ask me. They're kind of drawing your energy, and you probably see a lot of that too.
Yeah, we call them energy suckers. They will drain you if you allow them to, and so often we do. And a lot of what I work with many of my clients is to teach them how not to let that happen, how to become immune to the energy mm-hmm. suckers in their life. Mm-hmm. You can't change them, but you don't have to let them get to you. And so, yeah, it absolutely. And the other thing is that people in our society today, you know, because of the miracle of technology, expect results immediately.
Exactly.
We all want instant gratification, and this is a process. It doesn't work that way. Once someone is willing to commit to themselves and embrace the process, it's not a hard process. It doesn't have to be a long process, but it is a process. Mm-hmm. And once you, if you ignore that and you just think that, I want what I want and I want it now and the world should give it to me, then you got a long road to hoe. It doesn't work that way.
Now, what about soulmates? We always hear the term soulmate. Can people really find their soulmates out there?
What do you? Absolutely.
I'm single. I'm not, but if I'm single, I come to you and say, doctor, can you help me? I mean, help me find that special person in my life. Does it exist?
Yes, it does. And there are more than one. I mean, no one has one soulmate, and that's it. That would be crazy. Mm-hmm. 7.3 billion people on the planet, there's
that's
only one
point.
That's going to be a perfect match. So, yes, you can find your soulmate, but the way you find your soulmate is to get right with yourself. It always has to start with yourself. In fact, I'm working on a new book now, but the next book I'm going to write is all about that. It's called Me, Myself, and Us. So first of all, you have to understand who me is, and you have to really, really learn to love and honor and respect yourself. In other words, you're not looking for someone else to fill the holes in your spirit. You feel empowered. You feel really good with who and what you are. That's when you can find someone that will be a fit for that. Mm-hmm. If you try to fill the holes in your spirit, the voids, the needy, if you're needy, if you need somebody else to make you feel okay, then you're never going to find a soulmate. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're out there, and there's more than one. I've had the joy of meeting two of mine. One of them didn't work out, and the other one I've been married to blissfully for 23 years.
That's
so yeah, I know it's true.
It's interesting though, because when it's good you pointed that out, because when people hear soulmate, they think it's just one person, but you made a really good point, and I actually made a note of that. You can have several soulmates throughout your life.
Yeah.
I think, I used to think, like I said, I don't know why. Maybe it's just the way it's, you know, brought to us in society, soulmate. It's just a one person.
Well, yeah, it's a cultural thing.
It's like conditioning or something like that.
Yeah, but it's not at all. And the thing is, a lot of times you could meet a potential soulmate, and the circumstances simply aren't, right at the time for whatever reason. One of the ones that I met that I know would have been a soulmate when I met this gal. She was married to somebody else. I was married to somebody else. It wasn't going to happen. But we knew there was this, and neither one of us was in a position to divorce our spouses at the time. Mm-hmm. But there was no question in our mind that we would have a really good life together.
That's interesting.
I can say that with a fact. And then after I got out of that marriage, finally, because it wasn't a good one, mm-hmm. and got myself right. As
yeah,
I said,
key,
I got
yeah.
right with me. That is the key. And then I met my wife, my current wife, who's been with me for a long time, and we're as in love today as we were the day we met.
That's
maybe
amazing.
More, in fact, more so.
That's amazing.
It's effortless.
Well, and part of, you know this, doctor. I mean, life, it's fun is focusing on the right things in life. I mean, I've always, I've read a lot of articles about people on their deathbed. They don't say, oh, I would have spent more time at work, I should have done that. No, they say, I should have spent more time with my relationships and worked mm-hmm. on what was important in life rather than work. Work's important, but it shouldn't be the focus of everything.
It shouldn't be the centerpiece of your life. There's a great quote, one of my favorites, maybe my favorite quote of all time, from a guy named Christopher Morley, who was a writer and philosopher, I think in the late 19th century, around the time Mark Twain was alive. I think they were contemporaries. And if you Google him, if you Google Christopher Morley, he's got some amazing quotes. But the one that I love more than any is this. He says, there is only one success, to be able to live your life in your own way. And so, and I get a lot of people that come in here with a fear of failure. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And, mm-hmm. and we talk about the concept that, well, if there's only one success, to live your life in your own way, then there's only one failure, which is not to live your life in your mm-hmm. own way. So when you get to the end of the road and you're running out of time, you're going to have to answer a very important question. Did I live my life in my own way? Mm-hmm. Not did I make $1 billion? Was I the most famous movie star on the planet? Did I have houses all over the place? No. Did I live my life in my own way?
Sure.
If the answer is yes, and you're a pauper, it doesn't matter. You've been a complete success. But if the answer is no, damn, I wish I had done that, or I didn't spend enough time with relationships, or I worked too hard, or I did. Now you're out of time. Now you've had your failure.
Yeah.
Everything else is learning. So I absolutely live by that.
Such good information. Tell us a little bit about your company, A Better You.
Well, A Better You is the name of the company, and the reason it's called that is, it was sort of an accidental thing. I was in a networking group many years ago when I was first opening my practice, and one day, you know, people said, well, what are you really doing? I say, well, I help you create a better you. I help you make the changes you want in your life so that you're happy. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time to incorporate, that just seemed like the natural name. We've been incorporated for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
It's a small company, but we have myself and my wife is part of the company. She's a life coach and a brilliant one. So we work together, both with individual clients, and we do workshops and seminars and whatnot. I've got a book out, the Synthesis Effect, that is sort of a guide for helping people do what we're talking about, making those changes in life. And we have a series of do-it-yourself products that are available on our website. And it's all about helping people learn how to create the change, the growth, and the transformation in their life quickly and profoundly. And that's what the company is all about. We are growing not so much in numbers, but in our reach. We just finished the pilot for a TV show that I'm very excited about. I don't know if it's actually going to get bought, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. And that's my mission and my vision is to reach as many people as possible to let them know that the potential to live your life the way you want to is there. I don't care who you are, mm-hmm. what your circumstances are now, you can change it. You're probably going to need a little assistance, and that's what this is all about, providing that assistance and getting the word out.
And reaching out, like you said, Doctor, when you need that assistance, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Like we talked about, life is too short. It's supposed to be fun, like you say, and you need to reach out if you need help.
When I think of all the years, Patrick, that I don't want to say wasted, but that I lived with that attitude, oh, I've got to suck this up. I can't. And when I think of how many years it cost me, until I finally said, you know what, this isn't working. And I went and got the help. And when I did, within a couple of months, I was a new person. Mm-hmm. And everything since then has been pretty fun.
Yeah.
I'm not pretty fun. I love my life. And I have since then. But it wasn't until I finally couldn't take it anymore. You know, there's that old saying, you get sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. And you finally say, okay, I'm not doing this myself. Help me.
Yeah.
And the help is there. And I worked with a gal who was brilliant, and she was a hypnotherapist as well. She's one of the people that sort of steered me toward this path when I realized that this is what I was supposed to do. It's astounding how quickly we can make these changes that seem impossible. It really is amazing how powerful the mind is once mm-hmm. it's given the appropriate assistance and training.
Well, and I think a lot of it, like, you know, I'm just thinking about myself. I mean, a lot of it is just, okay. You know, I mean, there was a time in my life, I told you a little bit, where I was just, you know, I was unhappy. But I had to put my ego aside and realize I got to change. You know, it's an ego thing for I think some men, at least it was for me.
Sure.
And I'm a work in progress, Doctor. I still.
But, well, Patrick, I am too. It never ends.
Yeah.
You never stop growing, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is an ego thing. You know, we have that social stigma about getting help for our emotional issues, our mental health. Is something that we're supposed to fix by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it just, unfortunately, just doesn't work. And then when you finally realize, like, this is not working, I keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's like stepping on my toe over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
How many times are you going to shoot yourself in the foot?
Yeah.
And again, once you do get the right help, it's so amazing to see in a matter of weeks, people just like transform themselves. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you. It's just, it's a joy to watch and to facilitate, but to see it and it happened to me and you know, it's happened to you and it's always a work in progress. You never get it done until you leave the planet.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing stuff. Dr. John McGrail, I do appreciate you being on the show today. Such powerful messages. And this doesn't just apply to one profession or whatever you're doing personally, professionally. It applies to everybody out there. That's why I love having guests like you on, because it's such a powerful message. It's all about becoming better. It's all about becoming
Absolutely.
A better person, not just for you, but for the people around you. Family,
well,
friends, everybody.
Yeah, it's one of, you know, it doesn't matter what profession you're in, whether it's law enforcement or the military or any other service profession or any profession. Mm-hmm. When you become your best you, whoever you are, when you learn to live up to your potential, to use the gifts that God gave you, your intelligence and whatever else it is, when you are your best you, then everybody around you benefits because they're getting your best you. And I believe that it's a responsibility to be the best we can be, because we have a responsibility to those folks around us as well as ourselves. And so when you learn to do that, you begin to make choices and live in a way that serves your growth, it serves your well-being, and then it serves the greater good. And it doesn't get better than that.
Amazing, sir. If people want to reach out to you, Doctor, how can they find you? And more importantly, your book and your products, all that.
Sure. Well, I mean, the easiest way is if you Google Dr. John McGrail, I think I'm one of two. There's a psychiatrist in Ohio, but I'm not him. I'm the short, bald guy. But if you Google Dr. John McGrail, you'll get my websites, which are Hypnotherapy Los Angeles. That's all one long word, hypnotherapylosangeles.com. And I have another website, drjohnmcgrail.com. And on my websites are links to all my products. There's a products button where you can get my do-it-yourself products for quitting smoking or losing weight or sleeping better or just general improvement. The book is available through the websites. It's also available, The Synthesis Effect, on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. And I've had great fortune, good luck with that, and people seem to really, really enjoy it. And it is a guide to help you do this. You still may need some help, but it will at least get you in the right mindset, and people seem to really enjoy it. It was written to be fun and enjoyable and lighthearted while it's teaching my synthesis process, which is how to make these changes in your life. I also have a video series on my YouTube channel, again, John McGrail or Dr. John McGrail. It's called A Better You in a Minute or Two. It's a series of short videos that come out every couple of weeks or so with little tips and tricks to live your life more powerfully on a day-to-day basis. And if anybody goes to my website and they sign up for the newsletter on the homepage, you're immediately put on the mailing list for those videos, and you get an email with the subject. And if you want to watch it, you can. If you don't, you can delete it or send it to somebody else, I hope. But I'm easy to reach, and I'm reachable by email. My phone number's on every page of my website. And if anybody does reach out and they have questions about any of this, I promise and guarantee that you will get a personal response from me. You may get my answering service when you call, but I get the message and you'll get a call back from me personally. Or if you email me, you will get an email back from me. I don't have my people do that.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing what you're doing, Doctor. Very powerful. You're helping just a ton of people. And we appreciate it. The listeners appreciate it. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today. I know you're busy. And most of all, thank you for your service, sir.
Well, thank you for your service and for what you do, not just with law enforcement and protecting us, but also this show. You know, you are through this show, Patrick, and your generosity, helping many, many people learn from all different ways of life and different people, not just me, but this is a great service in every way. So thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.